Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips. Like
it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his loss.
Here's the Sandman.
Over Sandman.
It's not if your health fails, but when your health fails. And when it does, your spouse, your kids are the ones who are going to pay the biggest price in caring for you, not to mention the devastation it will do to your savings. It is Fleet Week, and if you or your parent are a veteran, well, I found a way to get thousands of dollars from the federal government to help you pay for long-term care if and when you need it. Then later in the show, if you're 72 or older, did you know the formula for calculating your RMD will be based on the account value of your retirement account as of December 31st last year? If you did, then what will you do now when your account may be down 30% and you need to take your RMD? All this and so much more, so stick around. Good morning. I'm David Hollander, your host. And this is Protect Your Assets Radio. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week right here on KNBR, and that's because I'm an attorney and have been running a financial firm, and I've been in practice for almost 30 years. I was just talking about long-term care because the other day I was talking to a childhood friend of mine about his mom. You see, my friend Ian is in his mid-50s and his mom is 84. She's a widow, but has been in good health all of her life until a couple months ago when she was trying to help a friend out in the garage. You see, she climbed up on a chair and was reaching for something when she fell and she fractured her right hip, and now she's receiving in-home care in her home in Palm Desert. Now, she's fiercely independent. I know her. I've grown up with her. She lives alone, and she wants to handle all of this on her own. She doesn't want to burden her kids. So Ian is looking into his crystal ball 1, 2, 5 years down the road, and he knows this isn't going to get any easier. His mom wants to be independent, but there's no plan in place. And he's asking, how can I still work and earn a living and care for her at the same time? Will caring for her completely decimate her savings, not to mention some of mine? Who's going to feed her, bathe her, help her with the bathroom, get her groceries, dress her, and so on? Unfortunately, I've seen this movie 1,000 times, and here's what you don't realize. It's not if your health fails, but when your health fails. And when it does, your husband or your wife and the people you love are the ones who pay the biggest price. It'll be your spouse and or your kids. They're the ones who'll have to care for you. They're the ones who are left holding the bag on the medical bills that are oftentimes enough to completely wipe you out. So this isn't a matter of simply buying an insurance policy, but it's not rocket science either. I've found a strategy for veterans that will not only make this a heck of a lot easier on the people you love, but it will also prevent what could be a devastating financial event for your estate. Then later, many retirees will have to withdraw and pay taxes on a bigger percent of their nest egg than they might realize, because the formula for calculating your RMD this year is based on your account balance as of last December. And while most people's accounts are down right now, what can you do about this? So stick around for the entire show as I'll walk you through what you'll need to know before it's too late. Now, let's get started. Well, this past week certainly shows that volatility is here to stay. The Dow finished the week down 2%, S&P 500 down 1.5%. Year to date on the S&P, we're still off over 23%, Dow almost 20%. So we're still in a bear market, so to speak. And so this was quite a week. And I'll say it shows you that volatility is alive and healthy. What happened? I mean, last weekend we were talking about what happened the previous week. It wasn't looking so good. We were worried about Russia. And then all of a sudden, Monday and Tuesday this week, we had some really big days. And that was a showing that, like I was saying, anything really on the upside or downside could spark this market pretty quickly. And I continue to believe that the S&P 500 is at fair value between 3680 and 3910 on the S&P. But three events this past week had stocks take off at the beginning of the week. The first was the September ISM number. That's the ISM production number. So that number came in a little better than we thought. And what that showed was that inflation is not that bad. So this is a manufacturing index. It fell to 50.9%. The estimate was 52, so it was a little lower. And this was the weakest reading we've seen since May of 20. And that's further evidence that the economy is moderating. Possibly the most important figure in the ISM release was the price index, which fell 0.8 points to 51.7. This was the lowest level we've seen since June of 20. Now, easing prices offered new evidence that inflation has possibly peaked. And this is the issue that just keeps coming back. Second, the Reserve Bank of Australia became the first major Western central bank to provide a dovish surprise as the bank hiked rates just 25 basis points instead of what they were expecting of 50 basis points. And finally, the Fed finally got some good news on the labor market as the JOLTS, this is the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, fell to 10.05 million versus the estimate of 11.15 million, which is the lowest level we've seen since June 21. So that's what set up Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday was a little sleepy, and we're all waiting for Friday, the jobs report for September. Now, this is what happened yesterday, Friday, and you saw the market, again, give back a lot of what it took on in the beginning of the week. So we were hoping that the jobs report would be just right and not show that inflation is still here. And so the jobs report came in at 263,000, which was a little more than the estimate at 250. But that's too hot, okay? So when you talk about Goldilocks and you got just right and too hot or too cold, this was, I'll say, just right and a little hot. And so that 263 number was a little hot compared to the 250 number we were looking for. But we did get some just right in that the unemployment rate went down a little bit. It was estimated at 3.7, went down to 3.5. So that's good. And wages as well, which was, as you may remember, has been pretty hot. Wages were at 5% versus the estimate of 5.1 year over year. So that's pretty good. And that shows that overall the labor market is starting to cool off, but not enough to make the market excited. And so that's why you saw what happened yesterday. Now, I got a question this week about Credit Suisse. Is Credit Suisse going the way of Lehman Brothers? Well, in a reminder of the 2008 financial crisis, concerns about the solvency of Credit Suisse came into focus. And I wanted to explain what's happening at Credit Suisse, why it's occurring, and if Credit Suisse is another Lehman Brothers. So first of all, what's happening? Well, in short, Credit Suisse is starting to act like a bank that's about to go under. Over the past several weeks, Credit Suisse stock has collapsed about 58%, but nearly half of the losses have come in the last 30 days as markets began to worry about its solvency. But it's not just the stock that's reflecting financial concern. Credit default swaps on Credit Suisse have surged to multi-year highs, furthering the concern that the bank may have to default on some of the obligations. Finally, the bank was downgraded by both Fitch and Standard & Poor's. So why is this happening right now? Well, put simply, Credit Suisse has a litany of scandals and trading losses over the past years, and it's starting to catch up to them. As you may remember, Credit Suisse was at the epicenter of the Grenzel and Archegos matter last year that resulted in about a $15.5 billion loss for Credit Suisse. More recently, the latest bout of stress has been caused partially by Credit Suisse management. They stated at the earnings call that they'd announce a new strategic direction for the company. And so the structural uncertainty bred more volatility and concern in the market. And so, good question, is Credit Suisse going the way of Lehman? And I'm going to say it's not likely, and here's why. I'm not saying that because Credit Suisse is in relatively strong financial shape, which it is, by the way. Credit Suisse has strong capital ratios with Tier 1 common equity ratio of 13.5% and a liquidity coverage ratio of 191%, both well over regulatory requirements and better than some peers. However, as anyone who was in the business back in 2008 can tell you, perceived funding problems can become real problems for a bank once clients get nervous because they pull money and create liquidity problems. You can look at what happened to Bear Stearns and Lehman. There's no evidence right now that that's happening at Credit Suisse, yet be aware it obviously could happen at some point. So I think it's a strong possibility that the Swiss National Bank would bail out Credit Suisse just like they did back in 2008. And so I think it's unlikely they'll do it again this time, again, not bail them out. I think they will come to their rescue. But let's just see what happens because the macroeconomic landscape obviously has to get better. So again, thanks for the question. Bottom line, I think the script for the stock market is that misery is going to end when inflation peaks, when the Fed get less hawkishness, like I've been saying, and they show that they're going to pivot and start not raising rates anymore, but do the other. And the economy starts to slow down, but doesn't collapse. And of course, geopolitical events improve and corporate earnings stay relatively stable. And that is going to be the recipe for this bear market. But in the meantime, you've got to stay tactical. And so while the coast is not clear right now, and I think this recession will drag on probably well into 23, you need to look at what you own and why you own it and be a little bit sensitive to it. So overall, right now, we see opportunities in fixed income. U.S. investment grade bonds are down about 14.5% this year. This has been the worst three quarters in the history of the index going back to 1973. And a review of historical performance reveals that over any five-year time frame, the single best predictor of future returns of high-quality individual bonds is their starting yield. And at 4.75% roughly right now, this is the highest we've seen since 2007. In addition to the higher income potential, investment-grade bonds can potentially serve as a buffer against equity market volatility. But make sure you review those with your advisor. Make sure you understand what you're doing before you get involved in anything like that. And as far as equities go right now, again, I think the valuation on the S&P is pretty fair, but there's still some downward, obviously, surprises that can happen if things don't materialize the way we'd like to see. But you could see some good opportunities in that. And I think overall value and defensive sectors will continue to do well in this bear market. And as we get in this later stage of this bear, cyclical sectors and tech could come back. But again, you've got to be have a strong constitution to get involved in that. So overall, I like opportunities in emerging markets right now. And as far as key support levels go, on the S&P 500, we're looking at a support right now of 35.34. And if that breaks, then we're looking at 34.27. Next week will be interesting. So let's see what happens with more inflation data. When your health fails, your spouse and your kids will pay the biggest price in caring for you and ultimately paying for the outrageous medical bills. It's Fleet Week, and if you or your parents are veterans, find out about a special federal program that can pay thousands per month for care. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
Can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And if you're just joining us earlier, I was talking about my childhood friend, Ian. You see, his mom recently fell and broke her hip. And now he's not only worried about her well-being, but he's going to care for her since his dad has passed away. And Ian's dad was a veteran, and it is Fleet Week. So I figured what a great time to talk about a great federal benefit that's out there. All right. Well, anyways, listen, we're getting back to my friend Ian. His mom literally got a call last week. He was really upset. His sister has been taking advantage of the mom, and it's just kind of an ugly situation. Bottom line is, since my friend Ian works and his mom lives hundreds of miles away, he's looking at hiring a full-time caregiver to come into the home and take care of his mom. So we got to talking about how do you do that? Where do you start? What do you do? I mean, imagine you're going to work every day and you get this call out of nowhere from your mom, and now you got to help her out. And what are you going to do? So the first thing you have to do is you have to find a organization that can help you and your family. And so the first thing I'm going to give you a list of things just to write down here, because you want to make sure you're checking the boxes as you're going through this. And at the end of this, I'll give you something helpful. But first, you want a group that's licensed and bonded by the state. So ask for a copy of the license. You want to check it and make sure it's current. Find out about the experience level of the staff and how many people are on staff. Because imagine this, you know, you hire one caregiver. Of course, it's a special deal. It's, you know, 40% cheaper than everybody else. And, you know, you think everything's fine. And then you get a call early 6:30 one morning as you're on your way to work and the car is broken down and she can't or he can't make it to help your mom out. Then what are you going to do? And the reason why I bring this up is because this is what's been going on with Ian already. Not from him, but his sister. And his brother happened to stop by to visit his mom, and she was laying in bed in feces. And that's just not healthy, obviously. So this is what I'm talking about. These are real-world problems that just happen, and you've got to be prepared to deal with that. So is the staff friendly when you talk to them? Are they easy to reach? How are they going to communicate with you, via text, email? How quickly? Is there a licensed nurse or a licensed social worker on staff who's available to help you because you're going to need some help and or your mom or your family? Next, how are you going to pay for this? Because according to Genworth, now there's some really good information out there from Genworth about all this sort of business I'm talking about right now. So you may want to write this down. The typical California resident is going to pay $6,101 per month for home care. Now, my buddy Ian's looking at more than just general care. He's looking at full-time 24-hour-a-day care per month. And so he could be running as high as $14,000 a month. You heard me, for this kind of care at home. So what are some other options for you if you can't afford anywhere from $6,000 to $14,000 a month? Well, if you have the ability, I don't know if Ian does yet, but we're going to look at it. You could also consider what's called adult day health care. You heard me right. Adult day health care. And right now in the state, that's running about $1,842 a month, which lets you live at home and access personal care. You get meals and there's recreational activities every day to help you keep your mind about you and physicality as well. Now, another option if you don't or you can't stay at home would be assisted living. And they provide these types of services, including housing, for typically $5,250 per month, again, according to Genworth. And if you need it, say you have Alzheimer's or dementia and you wander or you get into trouble. Right now in California, the average care there is $9,794 a month. But then I want you to ask yourself a question, because this is what came up with Ian. Is your dad or your mom, or were they both, veterans? After all, it is Fleet Week right now, and the Blue Angels did a great job yesterday, didn't they? Incredible how great they are. But listen, all veterans out there, if you're a veteran, it's time to think about your family and how they're going to pay for those bills that I just mentioned. So there's this program out there. It's called the Aid and Attendant Benefit. Write that down. If you're a veteran, you may be eligible for this. The Aid and Attendant Benefit. The VA provides this. And here's some questions you need to answer. Did the veteran serve active duty during a time of war? Is financial assistance required to help pay for the care that you need right now? Does the veteran or the surviving spouse of a veteran, in this case Ian's mom, require assistance from another person with what's known as activities of daily living? What are those? Bathing, dressing, medication management, transferring, eating. These are all activities of daily living. Will the assistance from the other person be paid on an ongoing basis? So just what I was talking about, assisted living, private caregiving, skilled nursing facility. And Was the surviving spouse married to the veteran? This is important. At the time of death. So if you were divorced, not eligible. You need to be married. If you can answer yes to these questions, then you could be eligible for this much. Listen to this. So if you're a veteran and the spouse, $2,431 a month. And this is tax-free. These are extra tax-free dollars that you can get. If you're a single veteran, $2,050. And in this case, Ian's mom, she's a surviving spouse of a veteran. She could get up to $1,318 a month to use for care at home. Now, if you're both veterans and you're both alive, you get up to $3,261 a month. And remember, these dollars are tax-free, so that could be a big difference for your family. Now, listen, if this describes you or you're thinking about this for your family, then I would encourage you to give us a call right now to get a copy of my free guide on benefits for veterans when it comes to long-term care. And more importantly, my evaluation check sheet. We put together a two-page report on all the questions you want to ask people as you're going down this road, or if you're just getting ready, it'll give you a lot of good things to think about. This will be yours right now, but you got to give us a call. Call this number. As Dave said, 866-PROTECT. Again, my phone number is 866-776-8328. You can call Phil or Adrian right now, 866-PROTECT. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say at age 72, you have to take your RMD from your retirement account. Is that always true? Find out when I come back. You're listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. That's me. We'll be right back.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning with markets so volatile right now. Politicians in Washington are at it again. After all, there's only a few more months left to possibly get anything done. As if RMDs, required minimum distributions, aren't confusing enough for retirees, Congress is considering two new bills right now that could have a pretty big impact on your RMDs as early as January 1st, 2023. So RMD stands for, as I said, required minimum distribution. You must take out of your retirement account when you reach age 72, whether you want to or not. And so can someone explain to me why politicians just keep adding more and more complexity to an already existing law instead of just scrapping it and starting from scratch and then getting it right? If something is broken, you either fix it or you replace it. You don't add to it. So by changing RMD laws again, you make it harder for taxpayers to follow the rules and easier to make a mistake and potentially pay big penalties. So listen up, if you're RMD age or you will be RMD age in the next 5 to 10 years, you can't afford to miss out on what we are sharing today as we break down changes that could be coming to your RMD right now. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All I know is that I don't know. So here's one they say. They say that when you turn age 72... you must take all your RMD from your IRA or other retirement accounts. Is that always true? No, it's not. If you've been listening to my show for a while, then you're familiar with this concept called the QLAC, which stands for the Qualifying Longevity Annuity Contract. Generally, with a QLAC, you can invest up to $130,000 or 25% of a retirement account balance, whichever is less, and you can shield those dollars from the RMD. Now, the two new laws that are out there right now, they're not laws yet, they're bills, but they could become a law, just like everything's happened so far this year. You've got the Secure Act 2.0 and the EARN Act, and both of those would boost QLACs. Both bills will repeal the 25% limit and clarify that survivor benefits can be paid following a divorce, and an employee has 90 days from the purchase date to unwind a QLAC if they don't want it. Now, the EARN Act would also bump the dollar amount up to $200,000 instead of $130,000, and this will be inflation adjusted each year. And it will also repeal the 25% limit, and this would start after the legislation was enacted. So the clarifying language would apply retroactively to any QLAC that was purchased on or after July 2nd, 2014. So you could possibly go backwards here on this one. Now, back to the two bills, the Secure Act and the EARN Act, as it affects your RMD this year. As it stands right now, you must start taking RMDs from your 401k accounts, traditional IRAs, and similar retirement savings accounts, not Roth IRAs, in the year you turn 72. Now, you have until April 1st of the following year to take your first RMD. But what's interesting right now under these two bills is both the Secure Act 2.0 and the EARN Act would push the age for starting RMDs to age 75. Under the Secure Act 2.0, starting in 2023, the age for taking RMDs would jump from 72 to 73. Then starting in 2030, it would creep up again to 74, and finally would rise to 75 in 2033. Now, on the other hand, with this EARN Act, the RMD age would remain 70 through 2031, so that won't change what you're doing right now, but it then would leap straight to 75 starting in 2032. So there are obviously steep penalties for failing to take your RMD. If you miss an RMD or you don't take enough out of a retirement account, you're going to be hit with a 50% excise tax on the amount that you failed to take. You could be able to avoid the additional tax if your failure to take an RMD was due to a reasonable error, something like a serious illness, and you withdraw the amount from your retirement account quickly. To ask for a waiver, you would submit Form 5329, again, Form 5329 to the IRS, and you attach a statement explaining why you didn't take your RMD. The IRS will then notify you if your request is rejected. But listen to this. Both the Secure Act 2.0 and the EARN Act would reduce the penalty to 25% from 50%, and in addition, they would both drop the penalty to 10% if you take the necessary RMD by the end of the second year following the year it was due. So, for example, if you failed to take your RMD that was due this year in 2022, the penalty would be knocked down to 10% if you withdrew the funds by December 31st of 2024. Under both bills, if the legislation were to be enacted, the penalty reduction provisions would apply beginning in 2023. So you can see, for anybody out there right now who's looking at RMDs, who just turned 72, you have some decisions to make. Because if this passes as quickly as some of these other bills have gone through Congress, then you're going to have a new rule to face, and then you're going to know what to do. So if you've taken an RMD already this year, or maybe you're just about to, because I know a lot of clients wait till October, November to start thinking about it, then I know this could be confusing, and you're probably wondering what you should do. And so this is where talking about this with a financial advisor and tax team who understands this could be of help to you. And if you haven't planned on this, or you're not really sure about it, or if the political environment or the volatile stock market, any of this has you concerned, don't just sit there. You need a plan to protect your savings right now. And so you can set up a 15-minute strategy session with our team to get your question answered and find out what others are doing. So pick up the phone right now and dial this number. Dial 866-PROTECT. Again, my phone number is 866-776-8328. You can talk to a member of my team. They're sitting there right now, Phil, Adrian, ready to talk to you, help you out. Give them a call, 866-PROTECT. Or remember, you can always connect with us at our website, which is libertygroupllc.com. Again, libertygroupllc.com. It is time for a quick break, but keep it tuned right here, because when we come back, we'll share how this year's RMD calculation could be difficult to satisfy given the bear market that we're in right now. This could surprise you, so keep it right here. You're listening to The Sandman. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, The Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as The Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. It's not if your health fails, but when your health fails. And when it does, your spouse and your kids are the ones who are going to pay the biggest price in caring for you and paying your medical expenses that could wipe everything out. So what can you do now to make this easier on the people you love and at the same time protect your estate? That's some of what we've been talking about this morning. And I'd like to welcome all the veterans to town for Fleet Week and thank them for their service. This morning, we've been trying to do our small part to thank all veterans for their service by discussing the aid and attendant benefit that is available through the Veterans Administration, and their spouses and veterans are available for some of this for long-term care. Now, we all knew at some point Humpty Dumpty was going to fall off the wall, and today we're helping you pick up some of the pieces. And so I want you to think about this. If you're 72 or older right now, the RMD you need to take for 2022 is based on what? Well, the December 31st, 2021 value of your account. And if you look at your account statement from December 31st, which is what I would encourage you to do, you'll see what the value of the account was. Now, when you compare that value to what's going on right now, meaning what's the value of your account right now, you may say, whoa, there's a big difference there. Because as you know, if you follow the numbers year to date, the Dow's off almost 20%, S&P close to 23%, a little over 23%, NASDAQ off over 31%. And it just goes on and on. If you're in bonds, et cetera, bonds are off over 14%. So year to date, these values have come down. And now you have to take your RMD. So how do you do that? Because right now your account could be down and you're wondering what should you sell to take that withdrawal so you don't get penalized by that 50% penalty, which is so severe. Well, you could wait and see what Congress does. Because as I mentioned in the last segment, again, if you missed that, you can go back and listen to that on the podcast and see what's happening there. But you could also look at your retirement accounts a little differently. And depending on what you have, you might be able to take some of that out of a different account. What do I mean by that? Well, as you know, with a 401k, you don't have that option. You have to take money out of that 401k before the end of the year. However, with an IRA, you don't, meaning this, you could have multiple IRAs. So let's say you have an IRA here and maybe one over there and then another one, and then you have a 401k as well. Well, you could close down that 401k, roll it over, make sure you roll it over to a custodian. You don't want to receive those funds directly. So you do an IRA rollover. And then you can look at all of your IRAs and you can figure out which of those accounts makes the most sense right now to take the withdrawal from, or combine multiple withdrawals from different ones. So this, again, is a strategy that you might want to implement, and you definitely want to lay it out and look at it before you just go ahead and do this. So you have a couple months left to make some decisions to see what Congress is going to do. All this is going to be happening here over the next several months. So there's a lot to consider, a lot to think about. And I know right now, when there's uncertain times and market volatility, and you don't really have a clear picture of what the future is going to be, the best thing you can do is take action and plan and try and lay it out, because we do have the ability with our tax professionals and financial advisors to talk to you about your situation. We can map it all out in our e-money program, and we can look at your situation, which is specific to you and not to everybody else. So that tends to help a lot of people make better decisions when they know what's coming their direction. So now is the time to reflect on what's important to you and take action to make that happen. Then what I'd like you to do right now is take a moment. Breathe in deeply through your nose. Exhale through your mouth. And picture a day when you don't have to worry about the stock market, taxes, or what Mr. Putin's doing anymore. Picture a day when you're at a five-star resort in the Mediterranean with your spouse, and he or she looks at you and thanks you for making this happen. Picture a day when you can relax, travel, and do all the things you've always wanted to do. Well, it all starts with a call. We can do a checkup right now. You can get a second opinion at no charge by calling this number, 866-PROTECT. The number to call, 866-776-8328. Pick up the phone and talk to either Phil or Adrian right now, 866-PROTECT, and request your own personal meeting. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together another great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all my fabulous producers back there, Phil and Adrian and Candace, thank you. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show on the Protect Your Assets radio network. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Blue Angels and go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.